Hey, what's going on? This is Off the Air Live. You hear us every Thursday and Saturday night at 10 p.m. on LRN.fm. Got the video on offtheairlive.com. And if you want to call in tonight, the number is 774-314-7067, or you can Skype Off the Air Live. But joining us right now, we got Chris Spangle from We Are Libertarians, the show. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. So we're talking about this whole Glenn Beck issue and just, you know, how do we approach this? And I'm wondering, how does your audience generally feel about this issue?
You know, We Are Libertarians is a site that is made up of a broad spectrum of libertarians. So we have, you know, your voluntarists, you have your constitutional Republican, you have, you know, your pragmatic Republican libertarian guy. And so I was surprised. We did our show earlier where we got together and we talked about Glenn Beck, and everybody, we watched last night's show where he had on Jacob Hornberger and Jack Hunter. And, you know, we were all kind of surprised after we watched it. I'll admit, I listen to Glenn Beck pretty regularly. I wouldn't consider him a libertarian, and I don't think he considers himself a libertarian. He repeatedly says, you know, I'm not a libertarian, but I'm moving in that direction, and I don't think that I'm accepted by a lot of libertarians. And I think that's a damning phrase, actually. And I think, you know, this entire issue says probably more about us than it actually does about Glenn Beck as libertarians. And, you know, when I look at my Facebook feed and then we hear feedback from listeners, you get sort of that reaction, well, he's not a libertarian, he's a loon, we need to get him away from the word libertarian. And I think this is sort of a moment of crisis for libertarians, and he's just sort of a canary in the coal mine.
It's
after Ron Paul.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, it's not necessarily just about him, but it's bringing up an important issue. And I've been seeing a trend between myself, you, a few other talk show hosts, and some activists where they're kind of getting tired of that whole ultimatum where it's like, if you're not an all-out anarchist, if you're not an all-out voluntarist, then you're a statist. I can't be involved with you. If you're running for some kind of office, I can't be a part of that. I won't vote for you. And people are going, you know what? This whole attitude, this negativity is turning me off, and it makes me not want to be a part of it.
It wears me out. It just wears me out. And I've dedicated, you know, I'm the former I was the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana. So I was full-time. I lived it day in and day out for the last 4 years. And I work in advertising now with a big libertarian client. And then I decided to do our show and our site. And it just wears me out. Like, as somebody who has put a lot of time and effort into libertarian movement, it just sucks waking up every day and hearing from your own people how you're not good enough or how we can't grow because we can't risk not being pure enough.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about the word libertarian. I think that we are running the risk of losing what the word means and in the next generation having to find another word.
Well, maybe.
I think that has more to do with libertarians moving into the Republican sphere and more Republicans adopting it. But,
like,
you know what, if that means we get more libertarian policies, then great. You know, it's not an all or nothing proposition in politics these days.
Yeah, and the problem that I see that I've been seeing for a while is that there seems to be this whole kind of pissing contest where it's like, I'm more libertarian than you, so hot, that means I'm better than you. And there's also, on the other hand, there's also this witch hunt, which is always like, oh, well, you have this one opinion I don't like, which means I can't associate with you. We saw this a couple of weeks ago with Ron Paul and the intellectual property thing, where I was like, do we draw the line there at intellectual property? I mean, and then Glenn Beck goes, maybe we could all come together on the Bill of Rights. And I'm not necessarily a constitutionalist, but I think those are 10 pretty good ideas where it's like, we could come together. And yeah, maybe we're making a few sacrifices philosophically, but doesn't that make us a bigger, stronger movement that way?
Yeah, and there is a great piece by John Hospers, who's the first Libertarian Party presidential candidate. And he wrote a piece called The Anarchist Temperament. You can find it pretty easily on his website or with a Google search. And, you know, he examines the difference between an anarchist temperament and a libertarian temperament. And I think it's sort of an outdated view of it. But basically what it comes down to is the libertarian movement is stronger when people can have disagreements, when we can have arguments based in mutual respect. And that debate on policy, on philosophy, on strategy, that's healthy for us. Those are great discussions. The problem is when you act immature and you treat your friends like your enemies. That's when we start to get into trouble, and that's when we start to drive people off.
Well, yeah.
Here's a guy who is, you know, trying to cater to a libertarian audience who is curious about what libertarians believe. You will have Tom Woods and Jacob Hornberger and Matt Welch from The Reason and all these other, and Nick Gillespie and Penn Jillette and all these libertarians on to find out what they believe. And then you know what he gets from us? You're an effing A.
Yeah.
We need to look at ourselves and how we behave and be a little more mature and a little more respectful of good dialogue in the freedom movement, which I would categorize people who are just interested in freedom.
I think I've evolved my opinion on that, too, because just a couple of weeks ago, you know, I was going off on Glenn Beck because I didn't know. I wasn't listening. But now that I've heard, you know, kind of his newer stuff, I'm like, you know what? Let's be open-minded about this because I know I was there once. I know 6 or 7 years ago, I was a conservative because, you know, that's just when you start getting into talk radio and stuff, that's what's out there. And it's right. A starting point. And there are people who are disgusted with the government. They're looking for something else. And I've been there and I can empathize.
Right.
Just because we don't agree on everything yet doesn't mean we can't change your mind. I mean, Glenn Beck talks about how he's been having conversations with Penn Jillette. He's open-minded, which is something, again, you're not going to see that from Rush Limbaugh. You're not going to see that from Sean Hannity. Someone saying, I was wrong about wiretapping. I was wrong about these issues. I was wrong about war and the war on drugs. You're not going to hear that from them. This is somebody
right.
who's willing to change their mind. And with someone who's got 8 million listeners who are ready to change their minds, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to have a conversation. If it means liberty going forward, I'm ready to be open-minded with somebody who I'm not all the way in agreement with. I'm willing to do that.
You know how you became and how I became libertarian? It's because someone took the time to challenge our beliefs and to make us explain what we believed. And, you know, I said on our show tonight, I'm a guy who in 2003 had a pro-war rally and disguised as a pro-truth rally. And
hold that thought, man. We got to take a break. This is Off the Air Live. We'll be back right after this. Bottom of the hour to you. This is Off the Air Live, joining you back at the Otel Studios, back from the Liberty Forum that we were at last week. If you want to call in tonight, the number is 774-314-7067, or you can Skype in Off the Air Live. OffTheAirLive.com is where the archives are. If you want to watch us on the video, we're also streaming on LRN.fm, but we're joined right now with Chris Spangle from We Are Libertarians, who just wanted to wrap up a point he was making before we were interrupted by the break there. What's up, man?
Yeah, like I was saying, is I became a libertarian because I was challenged on my beliefs. And 2003, I had basically what was a pro-war rally. I mean, to be honest about it, those were my intentions. And I was profoundly wrong about the war in Iraq. And, you know, I'm at a point now, you know, a decade later, where I get most fired up about anti-war issues and civil liberties issues. And those are things that I did not care about a decade ago. And it's because I was surrounded by people who consistently challenged my beliefs and helped mold me into a better libertarian. And I think if anybody wants to identify themselves with or as a libertarian, then I think you say, cool, let's talk about it. Let's find out where we have common ground. Let's find out where we disagree, and let's start discussing that. Because if you have convictions, like libertarians have convictions, we're pretty dead set in what we believe.
Yeah.
Then dialogue is not going to shake your foundations. It's not going to shake your beliefs. You shouldn't be scared by having a conversation with somebody about libertarian principles, because it's not going to change you. It's only going to make them more libertarian because you're so convinced of your principles.
And if you're positive about it, generally, people are going to come around eventually. Yeah, they're not going to be right off the bat because you are challenging your beliefs. But after that, they're going to go, well, you know, a lot of this makes sense. And I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, but I got in a fight with Angel Clark earlier today on another program because, you know, we were talking about the Glenn Beck thing. And she we played some of the audio. And she was right off the bat like, I think everything Glenn Beck says is crap. I think he's lying, and I'm not ready to have any conversation because I'm too good for this. And I was like, listen, like, I understand where you're coming from, but this is a lot of people that you're just like saying, you're saying you can't have a conversation with. They're curious to know more, and they said things in the past that you didn't like, and I didn't either. But what do they have to do to prove? And I'm sorry, but if you want to further the movement, how much are you doing by preaching to the choir? And I think, you know, a lot of shows and a lot of activists need a dose of honesty. There's a lot of people who are just going out there, they're preaching to the choir. They're saying, hey, we're both libertarians, let's talk about how we hate the government. Okay, that's nice, but what is that proving? Except for validating yourself, which is nice because you feel good about yourself, but you're not spreading the ideas. So
go ahead.
There's a lot of people that are just like, holding on, this is my belief, I own this. You didn't come up with libertarian. I didn't come up with it. I wasn't always one. I said, hey, these are ideas that I agree with, and I think I could be a part of this. And I don't like this idea where people are like, you can't be a part of my club. You can't be a part of this tent. We're cutting you off because you're new. But I make the point that even the anarchists used to be minarchists, and a lot of the libertarians used to be conservatives or liberals. And you need to remember that just because you got there first doesn't make you better. You have to keep that in mind, that they're just a little bit behind the game, and that they're looking for people like us to be open-minded and have an honest conversation with them instead of being dicks. Because if you go, if you've immediately got that attitude, which she had this attitude, and I don't listen to her show, but maybe that's what she does. She's got that little attitude thing. And immediately, like, we probably agree on everything, but I'm like, if I was someone from an outside perspective, this is a major turnoff. Where you're just going to be a dick because I don't know things, that is not increasing the size of the movement. That's just preaching to the people that already agree with you. You know what I mean?
We don't have the numbers to affect enough change. That's the sad fact. And we can sit in our circles and discuss how right we are and then shoo off anybody who might have a disagreement on certain issues. That's not going to help us grow, and that's not going to help us affect change.
Yeah, this is what I said that really pissed her off. I was like, let's be honest. Your show doesn't really matter. My show doesn't really matter. We're talking to the people that agree for the most part. I mean, let's be honest. That's what we need, is a little bit of honesty and a little bit coming back down to reality. We're not going to have this anarchist paradise tomorrow. We need to work towards smaller government, and we need some kind of outreach to people who are looking for a change, but they're not there yet.
So the conversation has been, so what makes you a libertarian? And this is the question that we ended our show with. How far up the world's smallest political grid do you have to be before you're accepted into the Libertarian Party? And the answer that I frequently get is, you have to believe in the non-aggression principle, the NAP. And my question back always is, okay, we all agree that that is the basic, most simplistic view of what a libertarian is. That is the phrase, that is our John 3:16. That explains what libertarians mean.
Right.
But now, if you are, according to that, all taxation is theft, and I would agree with that.
I agree with that, too.
But does that mean that I shouldn't support a tax cut? Should I go out and advocate the abolition of all taxes, period, no compromise whatsoever, or should I say, you know what, this is going to help us move closer to the goal of the NAP by accepting this tax cut? And I think this is the question that libertarians have to ask themselves. Are we willing to move in a direction?
That's exactly what I've been saying.
We're in a constant battle between pragmatism and our principles and trying to build political power, but at the same time hold true to principles. And I do worry that we will erode our principles over time in our lust for power, and it can happen to libertarians. And we have to stay vigilant, and we do have to have some measure of, this person is just not staying true to principles. But you've got a dialogue about what your principles are first, but at the same time, we're trying to sell a product. We're trying to, sell libertarianism to people who don't believe in libertarianism. And, we have Steak and Shake here in Indianapolis, and I love Steak and Shake, but I wouldn't go to Steak and Shake if I walked in, ordered the cheeseburger, and they told me, you're a moron, you need to order the chicken sandwich. That's not good customer service. We have to read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People a little bit to grow our movement, so we're not just talking to ourselves.
Exactly. You got to remember, these are people that went through 13 years of public school, they've been indoctrinated, they've been watching the mainstream media, and yeah, they became conservatives or liberals. Can you blame them? I can't.
Here's the thing. You made a point about, I disagree with everything Glenn Beck says. How many of the people that you hear that from have actually ever taken the time to listen to what the guy says on a consistent basis?
Exactly. And that's,
are they saying that because the other sheep are bleeding it?
That's why I actually took the time to watch that video, and I'm saying now that I changed my mind from what I said a few weeks ago, where I think we need to take the time to be open-minded, because open-mindedness is what got a lot of us to where we are today, to being open-minded to different beliefs. We need to also be open-minded to the fact that there's other people out there that are trying to be a part of this, and we're not letting them, because we're not letting them speak. A lot of people have this visceral reaction. They hear Glenn Beck and they go, oh, we can't do that. It's a visceral reaction. Let's hear him talk. Hey, Chris, we got to take another break, but thanks for hanging out, man. More coming up. This is Off the Air Live.